GM with Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese
on ESPN
1025 The Game.
And it is Jared the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. Big show notes to go over. First and foremost, Kevin Allen, who covers hockey for USA Today, will join us in 15 minutes. That should be interesting to see kind of what the nation is thinking about what the Predators have done to the Blackhawks so far. We'll get his Game 4 thoughts as well. That's all up in 15 minutes. And, of course, today, special edition, 5 o'clock, Ask the GM today, not tomorrow, because we know everybody's going to be in full hockey mode tomorrow. Ask the GM at 5 o'clock today should be a lot of fun. But, Floyd, I'm kind of addicted to, I don't want to say addicted to the job because that's not the right word, but I have been reading Chicago papers and listening to Chicago radio and seeing Chicago TV and things like that because I'm so into this series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I listen, obviously, to Braden and Fitz and 3D and can't get enough of the Preds coverage that we have, but I've been listening to the Chicago stuff just to see, like, you know, just to get ideas about what we can talk about and also just to learn more. And so I listened to the Chicago Blackhawks. They had press conferences yesterday in the day in between in the game. They had press conferences yesterday, a full 20 hours after their overtime loss. And so they had some time to reflect and listen to their veteran players, because we talk about confidence and mentality and all of those things. They don't sound very confident. This is defenseman Brent Seabrook yesterday when he was discussing about the Blackhawks and what they have to do in this series.
Well, last night was tough, obviously. I think, you know, everybody was angry and, you know, upset. Today we got to get back on the horse. We got to be ready to go. I mean, we're in a tough spot and you know, a place that we don't want to be in, but we got a game and we got to worry about one game and try and win one game.
So, didn't seem overly enthusiastic.
No, he struggled with that a little bit.
And then Duncan Keith, who is a top 100 player in the history of the sport, Duncan Keith was asked about the 2011 series when they came back from down 3-0 against Vancouver and forced a Game 7 and lost in overtime. And here's how enthusiastic Duncan Keith was.
What do you guys remember about the 2011 Vancouver series when you were down 3-0? And what was your mindset then? How did you recover from that?
Well, I remember it was just like he said, it was just, you know, take it one game at a time. Obviously, it's not the situation or position we want to be in, being down 3-0, but take it one game at a time, one shift at a time, and you know, one period at a time, and anything can happen. So, I mean, we got to stay positive in here. I think, try to win that first shift and go from there.
So they don't seem very excited about being down 3-0, and they don't seem very excited about playing tomorrow night's game.
That hurt me. I mean, listen to those guys.
I mean, it's depressing.
That was painful.
It's depressing. It is legitimately depressing to listen to those two clips until you realize that it's your team that's up 3-0, and then you're not as depressed.
Yeah.
But they don't seem enthusiastic at all. It doesn't sound like they think they can do this. So my question to you is, one, are they down and out? And two, if they are down and out mentally, what does that mean? Because that can't be bad for the Predators.
No. I mean, it's got to be a positive, and you hope that's the way it is. I would only, you know, repeat what we said before. I mean, this is a proud hockey franchise, and they've won a lot of games. And this is, I can't say completely uncharted territory for them, but it is at least unfamiliar territory to them, and they are not happy about being here. And just listening to those two guys, I'm not sure they see a clear path out. I think they understand the fact that, you know, if they were to get in there and bang around for a while in some way, somehow squeak out two goals, you know, that they might catch fire from there and go on. But you know, the way Pekka has been so stingy, giving up anything, I mean, I think they have to look at that and think, gee whiz. I mean, if they get up, what if they get up two goals? They may take it home. I mean, they're hurting.
Well, and Willie and I were talking about this today, or when 3D was on, and I was during a commercial break talking to Willie, and we were discussing the first goal in tomorrow night's game is going to be humongous from that standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
If the Preds score early, goodbye, turn it off, go home, Jared's going to be on the pedestrian bridge. Like, that is the reality. And I will say this, though. Like, I look at the Preds, and we had Matthias Ekholm on the show yesterday, and Matthias Ekholm did not sound like he was taking anything for granted. So I think the Preds are staying grounded, and they're not getting too high or too low. The Blackhawks, I think, are getting way too low right now. That's great news for the Predators. Chris Long told the story. Howie Long's son played on the Patriots last year. At halftime of the Super Bowl, he walked in there and was just, like you said, Chicago, looking at, is there a path to get out of this? And Daron Harmon, the safety, walks in and goes, we're going to pull off the greatest upset in Super Bowl history. And talked about it just matter of fact. And that's the type of reality that the New England Patriots live in. Where, hey, we're down. That's all right. We got the best quarterback who ever lived. We're going to pull off the greatest upset. And if anyone's going to do it, it's us. And the Patriots have that philosophy and mentality. The Blackhawks, after hearing Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook, two guys that are, in my mind, core players for what they've done as a franchise, I'm not so sure they've got that in them.
Well, I think part of it is they're looking at this Pred team and the way Pekka has played. And, you know, Pekka is Tom Brady. They're saying, wait a minute now. We've gotten two goals in three games. That's not breaking any kind of record. So what are the chances of scoring a lot? That's why I think it's important. I mean, if you could get up a goal, you know, goal quickly and then another one at some point in time, even though I know nobody really is in love with 2-0 leads. But I think in this particular case, you know, when you think that, geez, we haven't scored but two goals in three games, and we're already down two, how are we going to score these goals? I mean, it has to be a concern.
Plus, the other thing that's not in Chicago's favor that was in their Vancouver series in 2011 when they forced seven games is game four was at home. This game's here.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bridgestone Arena crowd is going to be crazy. I mean, it was a rockin' to start game three. It's going to be double that to start game four. Like, and I'm convinced about that. So I think that hurts them in that regard. I don't think the Blackhawks think they can get out of this. Like, I think they'll lie and say they think they can. I'm not sure they think they can get out of this. The key, if you're the Predators, is you have to keep them from being able to get out of that hole.
Right.
Like, to get that, if you screw up, let's say you have a couple mental lapses and Kane puts them up 3-0. Now all of a sudden they're going back to Chicago, and then we scored four goals in game four. Now we're back home. Then we get that. Now we got a shot. That's what you can't do. You can't let Seabrook and Keith go from here to, oh yeah, baby, we got a chance. You can't do that. That's what the Predators cannot let happen. And we said that yesterday. If the Predators are going to lose this series, it's going to be because of the Predators. And just like they're up 3-0 because of the Predators, they've got to finish the job because of the Predators. They have to go win it. They can't expect Chicago to lose it for them, although Chicago's not showing me any signs of a team that's going to grab the bull by the horns.
No, and I think you know, Stu is right when we were talking to, I mean, we have found different ways to score enough goals. The truth is the defense has been the rock solid part of this whole program, you know, for these three games. I mean, it has been so hard and so good. And if we just continue to do that and then find a way, whoever's turn it is to go out and score a couple of goals, well, you know, we're going to need it. So let's play the same defense, do the things we've done, and then throw those lines out there and let somebody, I don't care if it's somebody new, if it's somebody old, somebody scored a ton, somebody hasn't scored any. Doesn't make any difference to me. Just score them some way, somehow.
Can you say, just get me to the second round, baby?
Just get me to the second round, baby.
There you
go. Okay, how quickly you get greedy.
Yeah, you're moving on. You're moving on. Just get into the second round, baby. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, Kevin Allen, USA Today. How shocked is he by what the Predators have done? Does he see a path for Chicago to get back in it? We'll get to all of that next, right here on Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back. It's Jared and the GM, and it's time to give away some tickets for game number 4. Congratulations to Jeff Lee, who submitted a photo on Instagram. To claim your tickets, Jeff, at Lee Create on Instagram. To claim those tickets, Jeff, call us at 615-399-1029. That is 615-399-1029. Again, the winner is Jeff Lee. And we're doing it again. ESPN 1025 The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 4 of the Stanley Cup playoffs as the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Send us a photo via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram of you showing your Preds pride, and make sure to tag us and use the hashtag RockTheGold. Your next chance to win is today at 5:10. Boy, I'll tell you, it's been a lot of fun giving away these tickets because we know how excited the people who end up getting the opportunity to go are.
Yeah, I mean, most of these prizes, you give them away, and people are really appreciative. That's really nice, right? But if you get these, the Preds tickets, I mean, you're dancing around the living room.
Now, I will say this. For the people that tweet me directly about tickets, one, I am not the person who picks them, thank goodness. So I have no say in that matter one way or the other. And two, at 1025 The Game is who you want to tweet at, not at me. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at Jared Stillman. If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can at the Jared Stillman. How'd you like that?
Look for the check.
Hey, the blue check mark on Twitter. Make sure that you know it's me. For whatever that may be. We are efforting Kevin Allen, USA Today hockey writer, to join us here. And the number one question I really want to get to is, how shocked is America, and I guess Canada, how shocked is everybody at what the Predators have done? Because personally, I mean, I'm floored after what take the way that we've seen it happen aside, because now I am starting to believe that the Predators have the better team than the Blackhawks. But the fact that the Chicago Blackhawks had the season they had, have the playoff history they have the coach they have the star players they have, and the Preds be up 3-0, to me, I'm utterly shocked. There's no way I saw this coming, and if I am that shocked, and you, who even picked the Preds, are shocked about it, surely all the national people have to be just floored with what this hockey club's done.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. And I think if you ask them all, I mean, probably to a man, they would say, yeah, I mean, this is highly unusual. Nobody saw this one coming. Now, could we have been ahead or tied, you know, at 2-2 or 2-1 or 1-2 and right? Oh, yeah, everybody could have seen that. And they'd have been fine with it. But 3-0, you know, people are going, whoa, nobody saw that coming.
And the feelings that you have, too, towards the Blackhawks after some of these games, like the game two is the one that it was, and I think it kind of snowballed on them. You're not 5 goals better than them. But, I mean, in game two, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, okay, now Harry Zolnarchuk just scored a goal. Surely the Blackhawks are going to come back and make this game uneasy. And then Colton Sisson scores, and you're like, wow, 3-0. But remember, they've come back from 3-0 before, and then you make it 5-0. Your goalie's playing phenomenally. You're like, whoa, what in the world is going on here? And now, I think it went after game one, the Predators won a game. Like, it wasn't shocking. The Blackhawks probably played better in game one, but Pekka was so good that it didn't probably shock you. Game two shocked you because of how badly they beat Chicago and they were up 2-0. Game three didn't shock you in terms of how it was played, but I feel like it shocked you when you looked back on it and said, you're up 3-0 on the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. I mean, I think to me, the difference in the games has been really important. You know, the first one, we go out and we really play one period. And they know that too. And they could look at our second and our third period and say, you know what? They didn't really play well enough to win this. They won it. We understand it. But they really weren't good enough or didn't play well enough to do that. But then the second one comes. And now here's this whole group of third line guys that are just, everybody's taking a shot scoring. And, you know, all of a sudden you're blown out. You're thinking, well, what happened there? So then you think, okay, we'll get it right the third time. We'll get to figure this thing out. And then you jump out 2-0 and you feel pretty darn good. And then you get into the third period, and whack, whack. Now it's tied up. You go into overtime, and before you know it, you lost another one. You're thinking to yourself, what do we have to do? You know, I mean, it's not that they're playing horrible. It's just that this isn't one of those Chicago is losing it as much as I really believe the Preds are beating them.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. During the game, in game three, I kept thinking to myself and saying to my dad and saying to my friend, and I told her, I go, Philip Forsberg makes $6 million a year. It's time for him to step up and score a goal here. And then I'll be darned if Forsberg doesn't just wake up immediately and just score a goal and then score another goal. And Forsberg clearly being one of the team leaders there. I mean, this is how we thought coming into the season the Preds could play. Mm-hmm. But to be up 3-0 on the Chicago Blackhawks, I think is shocking people all over the world. And Kevin Allen joins us from USA Today, where he covers the NHL. And Kevin, let's start there. How shocked is everybody at what the Preds have done so far, being up 3-0 on the Blackhawks?
Well, I think that there's real surprise around the National Hockey League, including with me. I mean, you know, I mean, I think the Blackhawks have issues. I think everybody kind of understands that, you know, they've been so good for so long that there's always a price that has to be paid for success. And, you know, today's playoff victories mean losses tomorrow. And the tomorrow is here for Blackhawks. You know, they haven't drafted early in the first round in almost a decade. And, their top five players take up 52% of their payroll, and their top seven take up 67%. That's not a formula for, you know, maintaining, depth for very long. They've actually done a pretty good job. But saying all that, they were actually playing, okay at the end of the season, and for the most part, if you on balance, they've been, have had a real successful regular season.
Kevin, we're trying to kind of listen to an outsider like yourself looking in on this. And when you see these games, is it so much that Chicago is not playing very well, or that the Preds are really playing well, or, you know, they're both playing okay and the Preds are just finding a way to win?
Well, I mean, I think, this is not the best that the Blackhawks, have played or can play. But saying all that, I think the Predators have done what they need to do. You know, always in the postseason, you get a blank slate, you get a fresh start, and you get to, try to do the things that you didn't do in the regular season. And I think that's what I'm seeing with the Predators. If we go back to, before the season, there were a lot of folks that were bullish on the Predators as having a chance to really make some strides, that, the Subban trade was going to energize the offense, and, the defense really wasn't going to be, left behind, and Rene was still there. And I think we're seeing, a glimpse of that, in the postseason, that, with this fresh start, the Predators have been more like the team that we thought they could be, and, less like the team they were that, sort of barely made the playoffs. I mean, if you look at their numbers over the entire season, the Predators were a pretty average team in terms of their offense and their defensive numbers. But, they haven't been average in the postseason. They've played better than that.
How do you envision the Hawks approaching this game four?
Well, the one thing they have going for them is they have a lot of experience in the playoffs. They've won, I think it's 67 playoff games since 2010. So, they have the equivalent of a master's degree in postseason success. Like, they understand it. They know how it works. Now, the question is, even though they understand it and know how it works, can they actually do it? And, I think that's going to be the issue. They've never been in a situation like this. I mean, down 3-0, everybody in Chicago, thinking this is the end of the line for this Blackhawks dynasty. This is as demoralizing as it can get, for a team. So we'll have to see. I mean, this is a new challenge for them. They have a lot of exceptional players led by Kane and Taves. I think all those guys are capable of rising up. And, we saw yesterday the Columbus Blue Jackets, a team that had, down 3-0, come back and win a game. So, maybe the Blackhawks can do that. I don't see them I think it would really be, you know, quite a feat for them to come back from 3-0. But, I wouldn't be stunned if they win a game here.
Kevin Allen covers hockey for USA Today, joining us right here. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, Kevin, I look, too, at the Predators right now. They've always been a team that's been good in the playoffs and consistent in the playoffs and with competitive series. But do they look, in your mind, like a team that could break out this year?
Well, I think so, particularly in the West. I mean, I remember before the playoffs started, I pointed out that, you know, it used to be the way the West was so tough that I didn't give much hope for the, you know, the teams that were on the, you know, on the fringe of the playoffs or on the, you know, just barely squeaked in. But that's not the case anymore. If you look at the teams in the West, they're all flawed in one way or another. You know, they have some issues where I think the, you know, the strength now in the NHL is in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, you look at even the St. Louis Blues, who have looked very good in beating the Minnesota Wild, and they're 18-2 in their last 22 games. But, you know, at the start of the season, they had issues. There was questions about Jake Allen, and now they've brought it all together. Well, have they arrived, or are they just playing real well? I mean, it's really difficult to tell. And, of course, the Oilers and the Sharks are 2-2, and that series. So, you know, there's an opening here. There's an opportunity for any team that has a lot of confidence in itself and has some momentum to make a charge. I mean, I think that this is a one season where, you know, we may not look toward the, you know, the top teams in the regular season to win it all. It may be teams that, just the teams that are playing well at the right time.
How stunning will it be if the Predators do, in fact, sweep the Chicago Blackhawks?
I think it would be very stunning. I don't think too many people were picking the Predators to even win the series, let alone to sweep it. So, you know, I think people thought the Blackhawks were still going to be the Blackhawks and win the series, and it just hasn't been that. You know, I think you have to give some credit to the Predators for the way they've played, and, you know, you have to wonder about, you know, where the Blackhawks are now and their you know, their hope of sort of maintaining this high level they've been on since 2010.
Kevin Allen, USA Today. Kevin, we really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Kevin Allen joining us here on the show. He seems as shocked as I am in terms of what the Predators have done. But, hey, the GM always believed in a sweep.
We knew it. We knew it.
Mr. Game 7 overtime. The GM. Hey, for all the best in sports news, real-time updates, and chances to win tickets and other cool prizes, follow our social media streams. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram at The Game Nashville, Twitter at 1025 The Game, and at 949 Game 2. I'm on Twitter at Jared Stillman, on Instagram at The Jared Stillman. Tons of great stuff. Coming up next, there's something I've noticed with the Nashville Predators that I don't think gets enough attention. We'll get to that. It's Jared and the GM, and it's right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Mr. Reese.
Yes?
You've been around a lot of organizations in your life, a lot of poorly run organizations.
Yes.
We always talk in football about taking advantage of the dumb teams, and it's always the same dumb teams, the Bills, the Jets, the Browns, the Redskins, etc. Dumb teams always do dumb things. You know why the Raiders got good? Because Mark Davis hired Reggie McKenzie and stays out of it. That's why they've gotten good. So I'm looking at what the Predators are doing, and we've kind of talked about the team that David Poile has put together. And they have veteran players, and they have really good players, and they have young players, and they have players entering their prime, and they've got guys that they sign early before they become stars, etc. But David Poile has full backing of ownership. We've had Tom Sigarin on the show, the chairman of the Predators, who has said on this show he thinks David Poile is the best general manager in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got ownership's backing. Then we look at the off-the-ice stuff. And it's been a process both on the ice and off the ice. On the ice, 2 years ago, they probably honestly overachieved 2 years ago when they had that really good season and lost in the first round of Chicago the first year under Laviolette. But then they got a little bit better last year, made it to the second round. And they got a little bit better this year, and now they're up 3-0 on the Blackhawks. Off the ice, I almost feel like it's the same way. Like last year, people were excited to talk about Preds hockey in the playoffs, but not like they are right now. And I felt the same way during the season about this season, I felt like people were more excited than they were last season and more excited than the season before that. And to me, I feel like the Predators franchise as a whole, off the ice, on the ice, is a franchise model that other teams should use. You hire people to do jobs, general manager, head coach, team president, you know, director of ticket sales, whatever it may be. You let those people do their jobs and you stick to the plan. And you look at the Washington Redskins, they don't do that. You look to the other teams and franchises in sports, I'm not sure they do that. And I look at the Preds organization and I feel like they stick to their plans. And now we're starting to see both the on-ice and off-ice plans kind of come to fruition, if you will.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that in the important places, I think they're really, really good. Which ownership, I think their ownership is just outstanding. I think their purpose for being owners is honorable, and it's passionate, and it's all the things as a sports guy that you want. You know, good support, understand what's going on. They kind of give you a blueprint. These are the, you know, we want to be competing at this level. And then they kind of back out of the way and let you go. You know, they've got an experienced hockey guy in David Poile, who has, you know, I mean, just outstanding knowledge across the board. It makes no difference what you want to talk about in the hockey world. He can talk it with you. And obviously does a good job bringing in players. You know, Peter has done a great job. I think I have underestimated how good he really has been down this stretch. But, you know, it seems like the more I watch, the more I kind of sit back and try to analyze what it is he's doing, the more impressed I get. I think you look at what Sean has done and the organization has done with Bridgestone. I mean, the kind of shape they keep that in, what they do for the fans. You know, I think you can look across the board in all of those areas. I mean, I think they're just outstanding and you know, deserve everything they get. Now, when it comes to player personnel and, you know, should they draft a forward or a goalie or should they? I'm not sure I can pass judgment on that, you know, mm-hmm. just what's the right way to build a team. But I know you've got the right people in place to build a team. And I know that you've got the ownership in place that will allow them time to build that team. And given all those variables, I mean, we're going to be a really, really good team shortly, and we may be a really good team for a long time.
Well, to me, it goes back to the planning. You know, that it's so easy to say you want to plan things, but it's so difficult to actually do. But go back to Kevin Fiala. I mean, this is a guy on the roster who was drafted in the first round 2 years ago, and he didn't make much of an impact, and then last year didn't make the team, and everybody was like, wait a minute. This is supposed to be the future. How did this kid not make the team? And this year was going up and forth between Milwaukee and Nashville. And it kind of been written off a little bit. Like, I don't know, is Fiala really going to be all that good? Or did they overreach in drafting him? I mean, what's the... And look who came up at the end of the season, played well, and then won the game for you in overtime in game three. Mm-hmm. You know, those type of players. Ryan Ellis, people a couple years ago wanted Ryan Ellis traded. People wanted Matt Duchene on the team. They didn't do it. Because they have a plan of how they want to do things. Now, was P.K. Subban in their plans? No. And you have to be able to adjust your plans. There's no way David Poile thought they would be able to trade for P.K. Subban. There's just no way. But they still, when it came, they were able to adjust the plans. But I look out in the arena when you go to the game. I mean, it's jammed, packed. They've sold out tickets. They sold out tickets. I heard this from somebody today. They sold out tickets for game four in 3 minutes on Monday. Like, that's unbelievable that you sell them out that fast. And it's a lot of times people get caught up in the non-traditional hockey market stuff, and that may be true or not be true, but to me, I don't think it matters. where your team is. I think it matters if you invest in what you're trying to do and if you believe you can make it successful. If you start a franchise in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and say, hey, we're starting a sports franchise here, but you know in your head that it won't work, then you'll never be able to develop that product into what you want it to be. But the guys that own this team, Tom Cigarin, is from Nashville. He's a Nashville guy. He believes this can work in Nashville. So what did he do? He hired people and kept David Poyle and said, okay, we're going to build this in Nashville. We're going to make it a great fan experience. We're going to add the Lexus Lounge, and we're going to, you know, the Patron Club and all the different things around the stadium that people love to do. They've made an entertainment district downtown in Nashville that now is rocking for every game, and they've trusted the hockey people to do the hockey things. And I feel like we overlook that sometimes because people perhaps don't understand how hard it is to get in a franchise because you just assume that things are that way, and the truth is they're really not.
Well, I think, you know, when Tom bought the team, I remember his press conference, something along the lines of, you know, the Preds need to be in Nashville. Nashville needs the Preds. And we had talked, you know, not too long ago about how important it is for a city to have these sports franchises and what these sports teams do, not only for the city, but for the image of the city and for, you know, the soul of the city and the passion of the city. Because I'm going to tell you what, I don't care, you know, there are very few teams in the country, I mean, very few cities in the country as excited about what's going on in their city as Nashville is right now. You know, you just don't go to another city. You know, you go to Birmingham, Alabama, and Birmingham, Alabama is a great place. But they don't have a pro franchise. They don't have somebody that's in the playoffs and on the, you know, going to have an opportunity to defeat maybe the best team out there. I mean, that's exciting. That's thrilling. And not everybody has that opportunity. And that's why, you know, if you're in Nashville, you have to be thankful for what they've done and how well they've done it. Because the truth is, I mean, we all want, if you live in Nashville, and even if you're not a great hockey fan, mm-hmm. you want to be represented well because you live in Nashville. And you want people, when they hear Nashville associated with anything, you want them to smile, or you want them to think about, oh yeah, you guys had that great hockey team, didn't you? You had that great, whatever it may be. And I think that everybody takes pride in that. Everybody buys into that. It's just hard to often find a sports franchise that will reciprocate. And I think that's what the Preds do for Nashville. They turn it around. They say, guess what, Nashville? We love you as much as you love us. This is what we're going to do. And, I mean, to date, they've done it.
And, look, this team's not always going to be up 3-0 on the Chicago Blackhawks. That's not going to be a year-in and year-out thing because it's impossible to ask that. Everybody is trying to win the Stanley Cup. Everybody is trying to win the Super Bowl. Everybody is trying to win. But the way they've built their fan base, I feel like it was a long process and it was a long-term plan, and they're going to stick around for the long term. And if they keep signing guys to franchise-friendly contracts like Matias Ekholm and Roman Josi and Cale Järnkrok and those type of players, if they keep signing those guys to franchise-friendly contracts and drafting players like Kevin Fiala and Victor Arvidsson and bringing up Pontus Aubergh and those type of guys, this thing will be successful for a while, and it won't be dependent on one guy or another guy. You know, I mean, Pecorine is great right now, but they've got a 20-year-old goaltender who I think is going to be good for a really long time. So they're doing that on the ice, and I think it's, like you said, it's an investment in you as much as you are investing in them. And that's really what I think fans should not take for granted, because you think Dan Snyder invests in the fans like the fans invest in him in Washington? No way. Dan Snyder's a knucklehead. You want Dan Snyder to own the Predators? No! So, and I just use him as an example, but the Jets, I mean, even in hockey, we've got our franchises that all the time are just totally in the basement. If Edmonton didn't get lucky and draft Connor McDavid, where would they be? So, I mean, I really think that we're starting to see both the off-ice and on-ice thing kind of come together at the same time. And who knows how far this can go. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Who needs a vacation? We've teamed up with Visit Florida Park and Fly Nashville and the Sheraton Bay Point to send one of you and three friends to Panama City Beach, Florida. It includes round trip, airfare, 3-night stay at the Sheraton Bay Point, a rental car, and a round of golf for you and your friends. To enter the contest, go to thegamenashville.com/lovefl. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025, the game. Welcome back to the show. It's Chair of the GM and it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Reminder, special programming note, ask the GM 5 o'clock today, not on Thursday. Ask the GM at 5 o'clock today because tomorrow night will be 2 hours away from puck drop on game number 4, where it looks like the Predators will look to go and sweep the Chicago Blackhawks. Lord, I can't even believe I'm saying that.
I can't wait.
I cannot believe I'm saying.
I'm so excited.
They have an opportunity to sweep the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah.
So Ask the GM is coming up at 5, and the best question for the GM, and it can be football, hockey, playoffs, whatever you want for Ask the GM, the best call will win a pair of tickets to the music of Led Zeppelin with the Nashville Symphony at Ascend Amphitheater on Saturday, June 24th. That should be a lot of fun.
Led Zeppo. Saw a lot of those concerts.
That's a little before my time.
I know.
Just saying.
Most things I did before your time.
Well, my mom loves Led Zeppelin. But, my mom's a little older than me. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in here on Jared and the GM. JJ is up next. What's up, JJ?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Wanted to see if you guys have noticed the similarity between the overtime, the triple overtime score between Ekholm and Fisher and, the Fiala, James Neal Fiala goal. I looked at them both and they were very similar.
I did not look at them, but I will say this. The way that they happened, the way that it felt when they scored did feel similar. When the puck went in, because I'm not going to lie, I like going to the games, but when it's past midnight, I'm kind of wanting it to be over. It's like a movie. You ever been in a movie where you sat there in a movie and you're like, man, this is a good movie, but God, it's like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, time to go.
So with that hockey game, it's past midnight. Hey, bet you go ahead and put one in the net here so we all go home. And then, the celebration was euphoric for game 3. I will say the difference, the celebration for – there were a lot of people that had thinned out when it got to about, 2 in the morning when Mike Fisher scored? It was 1:30, yeah. It had kind of thinned out a little bit in 3 overtimes against San Jose. There were a lot of people who were still in their seats and a lot of people who were still there for the game winner the other night. And I'll tell you, the place went crazy when they scored. Absolutely crazy. So that is what's exciting. That is the thing that was one of those games that you will remember probably for forever if you were at it. And even if you weren't, you'll probably remember it for a long time.
Yeah, that's one of those games that, the night of the game, there were 17,000 people in there, but in 5 years, there'll be 107,000 people that were at the game.
Well, at least you'll believe me that I was there. I was at the Music City Miracle, too.
That's the same way. It started off with 60,000. Now it's up to about 350,000.
Yeah. And how many people left the Music City Miracle before the Music City Miracle happened? I think this is crazy. The Predators being up 3-0 on the Blackhawks, if they sweep the Chicago Blackhawks, this may be the most stunning thing in Nashville sports aside from the Music City Miracle. Because what huge upsets in the playoffs have the Titans pulled out?
Yeah.
The Titans have never gone to Foxborough and beaten the Patriots.
No.
So, honestly,
Jacksonville in the championship game would probably be the biggest.
But you had beaten them twice that year, including 41-14 3 weeks before that.
Yeah.
Now, I know that it doesn't always work out like that. But
yeah.
By the way, I know you always say that you always thought you're going to win when you go into these games. Were you confident before the Jacksonville game? Were you like, hey, we've got these guys twice. We're good to go.
Well, we didn't want to play them again because nobody had ever beaten a team 3 times. You know, I mean, so the question was, mathematically, what are the chances? I mean, they weren't very high. Right after halftime, we put them to sleep.
You mean when Josh Evans got the sack in the end zone for a safety and then D. Mace took one to the house?
Returned the kick for a touch. They all left.
Did you know D. Mace was going to be this superstar kick returner when you drafted him?
That's really the reason we drafted him initially.
To return kicks?
Yeah. Because he was, I mean, he would know, but I mean, he like led the country in kick returns and punt returns. And I mean, he was outstanding college returner. And, you know, you draft a guy like that and you know he can return for you and you're hoping he can be a solid receiver for you. And he ended up being great at both of them.
615-737-1025. Bruce is up next. Bruce, thanks for calling on the Preds. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Great.
Good. Hey, you know, a thought that's crossed my mind as the Predators prepare for tomorrow night's game, one thing I really want them to be careful of is that they don't let the emotions get the better of them, because I really feel like Chicago, if they start feeling like the game's getting out of hand, they're probably not going to go down without a fight. I think if we saw game two in Chicago, we saw the Blackhawks start playing kind of a little bit dirty, you know, which isn't normally their style. They usually have a little bit more class than that. And we need to be careful that we don't get baited into penalties and other altercations that'll actually take our players off the ice and help Chicago, you know, with a on-ice advantage. And I think that's going to come with playoff experience and some mental discipline and an awareness that a team with the prestige of the Blackhawks on the brink of elimination, especially getting swept, I think we should expect them to, you know, pull out all stops if they need to and probably, you know, go about it any way they think they can to at least get back home and play one more game on home ice.
I'm not sure, though. I appreciate it, Bruce. I'm not sure the Blackhawks' plan was to play dirty in game two. I think individuals were so frustrated that they did dirty things, Kane and Ryan Hartman.
At the end of the game.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was frustration.
I don't think that the Blackhawks are going to come out and try to play dirty tomorrow night.
I wouldn't think. I mean, being a real physical team is not necessarily their identity anyway. But I do agree with them one thing. I mean, we cannot. The second period last week, last game.
Ugh.
I mean, with the penalties and silly,
too many men on the ice.
Oh, giving them opportunities. I mean, we certainly have to eliminate all that.
I'd agree. You have to play a good game, because if you don't play a good game, you give them the opportunity to get back in this series.
Exactly.
And that's what you don't want to have happen. If they come out and they play like we thought they were going to play in this series, and that, let's say they beat you 3-2, okay, go back to Chicago. You get three more shots to beat them. I'm okay with that. But if you come out and you are taking a smoke break and they beat you, then you got nobody to be disappointed in but yourself.
No, that's exactly right.
All right, time to load them up for the GM. 615-737-1025. Everything is on the table for Ask the GM. Football, hockey, draft, playoffs, everything. 615-737-1025. And the best question for the GM will win a pair of tickets to the music of Led Zeppelin with the Nashville Symphony at Ascend Amphitheater. That's on Saturday, June 24th. Get those phone lines loaded now. Ask the GM is next on Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game.